Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit. You made the effort to get here, so let's let it count to eternity. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. The wonderful opportunities you give us to spread the gospel in so many different ways. The internet, our young people, publication, every way that you give us, Heavenly Father. And Father, we most appreciate the assembling of ourselves with each other for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth of who and what you are. And we pray that all that we do this morning is glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
Would you join us in singing "It Is Well With My Soul"? "It Is Well With My Soul" is number 339. 339. If you have a hymnal nearby, please turn to that one and join us in standing.
I go
talk about some prayer, and then we will go into the offering and have John teach us the word. First of all, let's see. Do you know how Thomas is doing and all? Doing good? Good. All right. Let's continue being in prayer for Thomas. And Mr. Langston, how are you doing?
Doing fine,
thank you. Thank you. Pretty much cleared up?
Yep.
All right, very good. David?
No.
Nice. He's not a nice person. Langston's good friend for many, many, many years, David Teeter. We've been in prayer for him. He's in Fort Worth now. And he had a brief cognizance of awareness, but that didn't last very long. And so now he's still in ICU. And just be in prayer that God's plan be done for him and his wife and family. Let's see. John Harvey's not here, but just continue being in prayer for John's mother. He may be with her today. Grady, how's your dad?
Hanging in.
Hanging in? Is there any change? Good. All right. We'll continue being in prayer. Please continue being in prayer for Terry, Terry's father, Tish's brother. And he's getting better each passing week, I guess. And so please be in prayer for Terry's father, Johnny. Good friend Mike Bell continues to need your prayers. And Mike's just a super guy, but he's under a lot of testing by God. But this morning we learned he ought to give thanks for it and rejoice over it. So don't pray for him. No. You can pray for him. And Hosea is in constant need of our prayers. Missionaries, the Risleys, Fossil Hills, please continue being in prayer. Because remember, people, you're an extension of their ministry. We support them in prayer, finance, and all. We share in what they get. So, in fact, Bill is just so adamant on that. He said he just to do nothing but sit back and reap the rewards of our prayers. So, then you're being in prayer for the Risleys. Let's see now. Is there any prayer that I'm not aware of? Any prayer? Yes.
My friend Dean Greenberg.
All right. What's the status? Better? Okay. All right. Can we be in prayer? Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Jennifer's job is probably going to go away. They're outsourcing her department, so she sent out a resume to a few places. So
well, you're so good that you do away with your own job. That is not true.
So appreciate prayers for just a job, new job.
She's, absolutely.
She's got a resume out, and then
you guys, wherever you go, I know you're going to be a witness, so it'll be where God wants you. That'll be a beautiful thing there. That's beautiful. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Our servant leadership and missions camp is 3 weeks from this weekend.
Slam camp?
Slam camp is 3 weeks. Please be in prayer for the planning, the teaching, and then ultimately the weekend itself for these young people to have an opportunity to learn about standing firm and what they believe.
Okay. Now, they're going to be working on standing firm, but they're going to be also working on the camp as hope. And
so we, as the staff, will start working on the camp.
Yeah, okay.
But the young people will be focused on the stand firm servant leadership weekend.
All right, people, here's your opportunity to continue being in prayer. Instead of complaining about the young people, be in prayer about them. We've got two homes that open up every week here. Be in prayer for the Wises and the Daigs and their home and the young people that they get to talk with. And now be in prayer in preparation for the, what is it, spiritual leadership? Camp, slam?
Servant leadership.
Servant leadership. And please be in prayer for the preparation of that. And you'll be teaching in it?
Yes, sir.
And Reverend Miller will be teaching in it, so be in prayer with the Holy Spirit. We'll start working on him, so what he would have said. So, great opportunity. And start being in prayer for the summer camp. A lot of wonderful things happen because we lay the groundwork of prayer. So please be in prayer in regard to the young people and what's going to be happening at camp. Okay? right? And how's the flower thing going?
Yeah, the flower thing is still going.
Vice up.
It's still growing.
The flowers, next Sunday will be the last time we can take orders on Sunday because the cutoff is the 24th of March for the sale.
Okay.
There's a form online that lets us put up, and then I'll have some paper ones next Sunday in case you all forget or didn't bring them.
I have some left without that.
Flower power. That's what we believe in here. Yes. All right. So please be in prayer for the young people in this respect.
And also praise and thanks, Biopsy. Went great Friday. Everything's
good. All right. Very good. It went well, so no problem.
I don't have to go back till September.
Oh, okay.
Everything's good.
Okay.
I didn't cry.
Well, that's
Bill dropped me in the grease. He told the doctor that I ate a 3-pound potato just before we got there. They all started laughing, and she said, "Well, it's good that you have a husband because he keeps you accountable." I don't like either one of you.
So that's the way it's supposed to go. You're supposed to keep her accountable. No,
we're not under the rules. Only works when the professional's involved.
Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes, Steve?
A friend of mine called from yesterday. She wanted me to put her nephew on the prayer list. His name is Blake, and he didn't want his last name.
Did you get that listening? Okay. She has a prayer list. Very good. All right, any other prayer requests? Or, yes.
Just a praise report. The little boy, JD, the surgery went well. He's recovering.
Okay.
And I do have a question on the youth group. Are we going to put up something to show the level of the fundraising that we have this year?
We can do that. Maybe work together and do something new.
Like a little thermometer poster?
One day, yeah.
Okay, I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still teaching
school? No, well, I can work with you. We'll figure it out.
Okay. You want it electronically or physically?
Either way.
Okay.
We'll try to have that ready by Christmas.
Thank you, John. I have a little logistical prayer on the slam camp today. We have a meeting at our house. This is one of those iffy prayers I like to tell the kids.
Okay.
It would be awesome if God held off the rain or at least made the temperatures accommodating for all 40 kids to be able to be outside for a few. When we first met,
we're 3 weeks from now.
Today at 3 o'clock we're meeting, and it's really hard to get all 40 of us in one space if we don't use outside. So the weather's a little.
She thinks God is sovereign. All that.
He
calmed the waves, but he didn't stop the rain.
I can't see a peace for sitting outside in the rain. How about that?
Absolutely. You got about 40 over?
Yes.
Wow. All right. We'll be in prayer and for the weather. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Mickey Bill has asked for prayer for George and his wife. George, his wife has had 62 surgeries in her lifetime. 62nd one was last week. George is trying to work, make money, and take care of his wife, and difficult for him to do that and also to take care of his wife. So we pray for him and his wife.
Boy, he's just persistent, hard.
Yes,
62, 63. I've given up about 50.
Well, I don't know the reason for the surgeries, but he did this.
Wow.
It was last week.
Wow. All right. Any other prayer requests? For the young people, they're out of spring break. Pray for their parents, first of all, and then for other people that are out on the road. So, all right. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. With these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the wonderful opportunities you give this humble assembly for the spreading of the gospel. You just put the cup out, Heavenly Father, and you pour, give us the outreaches, the ministries. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to use this assembly in that respect. And while we're here on this regard, Heavenly Father, we do. We pray that you'll touch the weather this afternoon. Cause it to be nice. These young people can work together, getting ready for the slab camp, summer camp, and all that's going on. So, Father, just pray that you have compassion and cause a heat wave to come through. And, Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. I've known John Hintz since the 60s. For you young people, that's 1960s. And I hate to think of it that long, because I hate to think that he's getting that old. I'm not, but he is getting old. And just a friendship brought on by God and continued by God and His Spirit. And it is always a pleasure and a privilege to have him in our home and spend time with him and fellowshipping and talking. And he has a lot of good patience. Those of you that know me, he has great patience, because yesterday and Friday, he worked with me nearly all day, both days, on the computer teaching me Logos. And so if you know how astute I am in the computer, you'll know his chore. But I'm getting more and more familiar with Logos, and probably about 10 or 15 years, I'll be right there. But anyway, don't take up any more time. John, glad to have you here this morning, man.
Wow, it is good to be here. I always enjoy it when I come. And I don't know if 15 years is long enough for Herman to learn Logos. I keep telling him, if you would just use it. But it seemed like this time I've noticed him using it. Maybe he is going to use it. It's a great program, if you don't know what we're talking about. It's a Bible program. And it just does so much stuff. I wish I'd had it 40 years ago. But it was not predetermined by God that I have it. But at any rate, let's get started with a word of prayer, and we need to remember that we need to be trusting God, the Holy Spirit, even while we're learning the Word. And trusting the Spirit as we learn the Word means that we want Him to teach us what He wants us to learn, what He wants us to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear. No, dear Lord, explain to me the things I want to know. And help me hear and listen to the things that I want to hear, but not necessarily some of those things that you want me to hear, but I don't agree with those. And that might mean I had to change my life, and I can't change my life. I know you can change my life, but I don't want you to change my life. I'm happy with the way it is. Well, I'm not real happy, but but I'm used to it. So we have to just trust God, even to teach us while we're in church. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this assembly. I thank you for your love for us. demonstration of that love through sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Father, I thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit so we could learn more about you, draw closer to you. Father, I pray now as we do study your word that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would just teach us and enlighten our souls through your wonderful truth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Greetings from Tucson Bible Church. Everything's going fairly well there, especially since I'm gone this weekend. Things seem to be going well with the Risleys. God's always working. And the first time that Bill and Pat Risley, a couple of their kids, came to church, and it had taken a guy in my church probably about 2 or 3 years to finally get me to say, okay, I need to come and speak. We're not always real hot about having missionaries we don't know and speak at our churches. So I finally said, okay. And has Bill ever spoken here? Yeah, so you know Bill. And he gets up, and that time I think they had been missionaries 10, 12 years, and he said, you know, we've been on a mission field down in Mexico now about 10 or 12 years, and we're still not sure what missionaries do. We just kind of stand around and watch God work. I said, yes! And, boy, Bill is a brilliant guy. You know, if you're a B-52 pilot, that means you weren't the dumbest guy in the class. And he flew, I don't know how many missions in Nam. And just a great guy, sharp, and loves the Lord, and just loves standing around watching God work. And I can tell you, through their ministry, tens of thousands of people have come to know Christ. Now, in Mexico, they don't know as much as we know. So they don't know that after you get saved, you can't tell anybody about Jesus for at least 10 to 15 years. They think if you get saved on Wednesday morning, by Wednesday afternoon, half the people you know should also be saved. And they just bring people to hear the gospel. And one of the neat things is they'll get saved in the morning, they'll bring somebody in the afternoon, and they want another lesson in Bible for their mother, their dad, their friend, their neighbor, their kid. And then they'll say, but I want to tell them the lesson. And they just not witnessing. They don't know. You're not supposed to tell people about Jesus for a long time. And so there we go. Well, we are in 1 Peter. I preached the first hour without notes, and I'm going to try to do it the second hour. And buddy, I'm going to let Jerry, in case I get confused or I stop, you can help me. You know, like, prompt me there. Okay, so there are my notes. And now, you don't get any reward for this in heaven. Yeah. You know, I didn't even bring any candy bars. I hand out candy bars to Salvation Army if they have questions or answers. Or just, you know, I think last time I was here, didn't I flip out some candy bars? Yeah, see? That's why they came back. Well, next time I come, I'll bring candy bars. Well, 1 Peter is an interesting book. I was planning on covering the whole book today. And I knew that Herman could easily cover that book, maybe throw in Hebrews. But I just can't. But I'm doing the best I can. And we're just kind of getting the overview. And the overview of 1 Peter is live your life in the light of eternity. The overview of 1 Peter is some days your life's going to suck. Some months your life's going to suck. Some years your life's going to suck. It may suck till you're dead. See? But the promise is, once you're dead, it will stop sucking. And so, if your life sucks, then either eventually the Lord will pull that trial away from you while he gets another one ready. You're going to die, or the rapture. Yes, ma'am.
They have a problem with the listener and might not understand what that means.
Thank you. Suck is a word that comes from Bob Jones University. And it means things are not going well in your life. You're having pressures and problems, and all hell is breaking loose. And your soul is in turmoil. Okay? Your life sucks. And that's where that term comes from. Thank you, so I can explain that. They're going to be writing Bob Jones. And basically, what Peter is saying, that all of these things in your life, the problems, the disasters, are literally designed by God, are allowed to come into your life by God, draw you closer to Him, to develop an intimate relationship with Him, because the intimacy that you have with Jesus in this life is the one you take. And what God wants to do is bless you, not only in this life, but in eternity. We are designed, He has a plan for us that's designed to bring honor and glory to Him. And when people see us with problems and disasters in our life, and yet they can tell that we have an inner joy and an inner peace, and an inner contentment in our lives draws them to Jesus. When we're bitter and full of hatred, that draws flies, but it doesn't draw people to Jesus. And we're here to bring honor and glory to Him. And so, we left off last hour in chapter 1, verse 7, and I'll just read this. It says, so that the proof of your faith, now this is the proof, the testing outcome, see what you're made out of, and a faith is includes the doctrine that you know, it's a noun, but it includes the whole concept of trusting God in every aspect of your life, trusting His plan for your life. And when I talk about trusting the Holy Spirit, that's synonymous with trusting God's plan for your life. They go together. If I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, I have to trust His plan. Okay? Now, God, I trust you. I trust the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, your plan sucks. We've got to change this. That's not trust. If I'm trusting the plan, His plan is for me to trust Him. Therefore, I have to trust Him. And the result is honor and glory to Him. He gets the praise, He gets the honor, He gets the glory, but it also results in me receiving eternal reward in eternity. Now look, there are just problems in life. I know, most of you have never had them, but one day you will. See? One day you'll do such a great job that they won't need you at your job. And so we have problems. We have anxiety. There's pressure in our lives. It doesn't make any difference what your financial status is. It's pressure. And we either trust God in that pressure, and it brings honor and glory to Him, or we don't. And if we trust Him, we're going to have reward in eternity. So we live our lives in the light of eternity. And my point is this, you're going to have the problems whether you trust Him or not. It's not like, oh, I know how not to have problems. Don't trust God. No. You'll still have the problems, but now you have the problems and now you have the discipline. You know what I mean? And what's the purpose of discipline? To bring you to the point, increase your problems in life to the point where you trust Him. So it's just easier to go ahead and just trust Him right off the bat. And, well, you know, one day you're going to die, so it's not going to last forever. You know when they say you can't take it with you? You can't take your problems with you. You take your relationship with Jesus with you. And so, he said we're going to be in verse 7 that the precious is more precious than gold, which is perishing, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation is the rapture of the church when Christ is revealed to us in person. We meet Him in the cloud. And our lives are evaluated. So praise, recognition, approval. Notice the reward of public commendation, which is received at the judgment seat. It's publicly. You get a commendation. Glory. Sharing in the radiance of the Shekinah glory. Wow. Honor. You're going to have a position of distinction at the second advent. Problems in life plus trusting God in those problems is going to result in your ruling with Christ. And I got to believe that somewhere along the line, it may take 1,000, 2,000, a million years, you're going to say, you know, compared to how great heaven is, and compared to how wonderful it is to be with Jesus every day, you know, my life really didn't suck that badly. It was worth it all. And when I realized that, man, just by trusting God in those problems, I brought honor and glory to my Savior, wow. That's pretty cool. That's what I was talking about. Now, I've got to move to the next verse because we've got a lot to cover here, 4 more chapters. Okay? Look at verse 8. And though you have not seen Him, you talk to someone and they say, Jesus came to see me the other day. That may just be Jesus that lives 3 doors down. And though you have not seen Him, you haven't seen Him, perceived Him in His entirety. You understand that? We don't really understand God. We don't really understand Jesus. We don't really understand His love. But as we begin to understand His love for us, it begins to motivate us in life. You love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but we are later, you believe in Him. You're trusting Him. You greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible, and full of glory. That describes all of us. When we have pain and suffering in our life, we're just full of joy and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Because we know it's bringing us closer to Him, giving us that intimacy with Him, and we're going to share with Him for all eternity. Now, verse 9. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now here, the outcome of your faith and the salvation is the preservation of your soul. And it's really, you're going to have, I love the word, I'm sure it's a Bible doctrinal word, victory in life. You know what? I'm not going to mention names of groups that all the time talking about victory in life, you know, and so forth. And you may know some Pentecostals, and they talk about victory. They don't really know what victory is. Victory in life is when you're trusting God in your problems. And now you have victory. God has designed us to have victory in this conflict that we're in. And we do it as we simply trust the Spirit. And it's grace. So, we have victory. Now, to obtain here is a present middle participle. Didn't switch, but maybe it will. Here we go. It's a present middle participle, and it means to bring to oneself. It means to come into, come here, possession of something or experience something to get for oneself as recompense, as payment. Oh my gosh, let me tell you. As I've been studying this, I've had all kind of problems. Because we understand grace, most of them, and in grace, God does all the work, you get all the benefits, He gets all the glory. Is that right? But, see, that's salvation. Rewards are based upon us and our reduction to the power of the Spirit. Is that grace? Yeah. Because God provides all the energy and the motivation and the direction. Guess what? We have to do it. Is that right? I'm going to use Brother Herman as an example. I oftentimes use him as an example of sin, but today, God's love. Herman, was it God's will for you to become a pastor? Now, did you have to take any action on that? Didn't even ask you. But as far as becoming a pastor, did you have to take some? Okay. So, your faith, that this is what God wanted you to do, led to action as you trusted God. Occasionally, you teach. Is it God's will for you to teach? Now, do you have to do any preparation? He just doesn't send you an email? We got some people here having a youth camp. That requires no effort on their part. Yeah, 40 people, 40 kids at your house, it's no effort.
No.
Stand by for this word. Get your tomatoes ready. Sacrifice. A sacrifice to put on a youth camp? Is it worth it? You get more back than what you put in your budding life, right? The sacrifice. Herman, I said this the first hour. Sometimes he sacrifices in study. He sometimes studies 2 and 3 hours a week. He sacrifices, see? Sacrifice is not a bad word in the Christian life. You have to make sacrifices. Now, Jesus made a sacrifice or two, did he not? I love it. For the joy that was set before him, I laugh. I'm the joy. You last best. Through his sacrifice, he got me. He got you. You see that? He comes that door. Sometimes it's sacrifice in our lives. Sometimes we complain. Well, we wouldn't, but we know people.
Nothing here for the little kids.
have you ever thought about being in a Sunday school class?
Well, we don't have Sunday school.
Well, think about that. See, we want to complain something's not here, but we don't want to, we'd rather complain than do something.
Well, we don't have anything for the teenagers.
So what happened? People here said, we'll do something. Do you see the sacrifice? Get something. When the Holy Spirit moves you to do something, if you don't do it, you're in sin. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Herman? I've quenched the grieving of the Spirit. Well, all I'm saying is that when the Holy Spirit moves me to do something,
I have a husband.
And God says, I'm going to reward you with that. Plus, I get rewarded in time. Right? He just does everything. Well, how about provision for the pastor? I used to call those grace loaders. Not a freeloader, they're a grace loader. God just carries them along. What was it? Get to heaven, they'll be in the pickup truck. Now, better move on, speaking of moving along. Okay? So, he says that you have problems. And then verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation, the preservation of your souls. You know what? He's talking about in life, phase 2. Soul is preserved in phase 2 just through trusting God. How we preserve our souls. Some people, you can preserve your liver with alcohol. But, no, that's not true. Yeah. Okay? And you can preserve your liver that way. But he says then in verse 10, as to this salvation, the salvation of your soul in life, in phase 2 sanctification, the prophets who prophesied of the grace, literally, meant for you, made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ, the cross, and the glories that were to follow, Second Advent. Now here's what Peter is saying, real quickly. Old Testament prophets studied Scripture. They studied Daniel. They could see, wait a minute, here is the advent of the Messiah coming as a suffering Messiah, the cross. Well, here he comes as King, ruler of the earth. Seems to be a gap in there, right? Wow. Because we have comes a suffering Messiah, and then we have later, somehow or another, Daniel's 70th week, tribulation, then he comes as king. What's going on? And what Peter is saying, they searched the Scriptures, they wanted to know about us. What's happening here?
We pray to God.
Father, what's going on? This is a special people here. You must have a special thing. What's going on? He said, none of your business.
That was the mystery of the church. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit molding us into the image of Jesus Christ.
Old Testament prophets saw that something unique was going on.
this period of time. I wondered what it was. It's us. Where did that come? Something we eat? Pardon me while I have a drink here. And then spirit. In the millennium, Jesus Christ rules. Here, under the new covenant, only to Israel, the Jews will all be saved, turns their hearts of stone into porous heart. So the word of this comes in, and they have a knowledge of him and love. They are indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit. Generation after generation after generation after generation. Gentiles, some will be filled, some won't. Some will be saved, some won't. You got that? The Jews, new covenant. How can someone, say you go in, you live through the tribulation as a believer, you're one of the original dudes in the millennium. Okay? You go in the millennium as a believer, and now you're permanently filled with the Spirit, and you go 1,000 years hungry for God, hungry for Jesus, hungry for His Word, and you don't sin. I mean, very few of us ever gone longer than 2 or 3 years with us. I almost went 5 minutes. I was so proud of it.
How could anybody go 1,000 years?
And I realized, wait a minute. What's our purpose as a church? It's to show the millennium can work. Because when I'm filled with the Spirit, can I sin? I got to quench the Spirit, don't I? It is possible for me not to sin. And for some of you. Is that right? You see how we prove the millennium? 1,000 years, how's that possible? Without the church. Some of them are going to go hours, maybe a day or two. It works. Doesn't it? We prove the millennium. By the way, tribulation proves our influence in the world. We influence society. We influence culture. Believers. Well, that doesn't look like it's doing much. Wait till we leave. And it's not all heaven that breaks out. That always bothered me. So we got young people here, and you missed the first hour. I'm commissioned to preach hellfire and brimstone. So I can say hell, and I'm also commissioned to preach damnation. So I can say hell and damn, but you can't. But have you ever noticed a couple guys sitting around smoking cigars? That's a godly thing to do. And just real godly men smoke cigars. And one of the great privileges in heaven is going to be going to the cigar room with Jesus. Let me tell you, he knows how to roll a cigar. Somebody's like, well, that's a weird thing. You just noticed?
Pay attention. But it is possible not to sin. And we walk in the Spirit. That's us. And we're gone. They're gone. The rapture. Even those little ladies just sitting around.
Oh, heaven. Oh, heaven.
That's okay. Guy sitting around smoking a cigar.
Hell if I know.
He said hell. If you can say heaven, why can't you say hell? They're both places. Now, technically, what you should say, lake of fire if I know. But, I mean, it looks, you tell somebody, just go to the lake of fire. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. They said, go to hell. And, of course, you can tell people that, but they don't go. One day Jesus may tell them and they'll go. That won't be good. Okay? So, he says here now, that the prophets, they were interested in all of these things. Now look here at verse 13. Let's see if I have something going on here. There we go. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, having prepared your minds for action. You see action? I tell you people this. But, if you're going to live a Christian life and walk by faith in the Spirit, it includes action. I'm going to give you. How long has it been since you've been in a church? If it took action for you to get here this morning, raise your hand. Oh, I see that hand. I see that hand. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. There's a couple people that didn't take any action. They slept here last night. It takes action. Wow. You're at work and someone says, maybe they drop a clue at lunch, having lunch, and they drop a clue that maybe they could be open for the gospel. They say, you know, my Aunt Mary died yesterday or last week, and I wonder what happens to you when you die. And you might say, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, whoa, this nah. You quenched the Spirit. Did you see that? Oh. Now, you have to take an action with the Holy Spirit is saying, tell this poor stupid human Jesus. And if I can love you, I can love you. And if everybody knows if I can save you, I can save them. You see, I got to trust God. They don't like you now. Yeah, all the reasons. I'm ashamed. There you go. Now you got the truth. Jesus, I tell them about you. I'm ashamed of you. At least you're honest. What to tell them. God, I know this person needs Jesus, and I don't know what to say. I guess I'm just going to have to trust you here and start talking. Holy Spirit says, hallelujah. I'll be damned. They finally learned something. Of course, he can't be damned. He's the damner, not the damnee. You go to a lot of churches, you won't learn that. And you may just blurt out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Really? You mean I can just trust Jesus and I can go to hell? Yeah, but you probably don't want to. You give them the Jonah approach. I don't want to go to heaven, do you? I'd like to go to hell, maybe all your friends and loved ones. Hey, the next thing you know, you're explaining the work of Christ on the cross, imputation of their sins. Jesus, how he paid, the Father was satisfied, he was propitiated, now they can be reconciled. Well, look, that person may or may not accept Christ. That's not your business. Your business is throw the seed out. Whether it grows and sprouts, that's God's business. You know what? You receive the reward. You receive Christ in your action. Trust in God. Someone gave you the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You act on what you understood. You trust in Christ. Does that make sense? Herman and I don't just stand up here and eat our stuff. You hear us talk. Well, sometimes we do. We want you to act. That's what Peter just did. Now, he says in verse 13 is a key verse. Therefore, having prepared your minds, the faculty of thinking, okay, for action. And you know what that means, and, you know, I don't understand this, but the men in the ancient world wore dresses, robes. And so if you're going to get in a fight, what do? We take off our clothes, roll up our sleeves, right? They pulled up their dresses. Okay, the robes, tuck them into their belt, and now they're prepared for action. Because the last thing you want is to be in a fist fight and you trip over your dress. And someone goes, oh. You have to prepare your mind. How do we prepare our mind? Trust God, the Holy Spirit. Trust God's plan for our life. You know what? Learn God's word. We then allow the Holy Spirit to take what we've done, change us, fix us, mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And as a result, we're going to have reward in eternity. So he says, prepare your minds for action. And then, of course, here's my verse right here. Keep sober. I know that some of you were out last night drinking, and you were not sober. You woke up this morning with bruises on your hands because while you were dancing, people were walking on them. That's how you know you've had too much to drink. Yeah, that's not what he's talking about. But it's a great illustration. Once again, I know that none of you know this. And you young people back there, you better not know. When you have imbibed a little bit too much, you don't have control of your thinking. Is that right? That's why you do sleep. When you lose control of your thinking, you be stupid. And if you be stupid, you lose stupid. You know what I'm saying? Don't have any confusion in your mind. Spiritually, be clear-headed. Put your thoughts on Jesus. What are you talking about? I don't know what y'all do, you know, for a living. But if I use Jerry as an example because he's got my notes in case I get lost. I'm going to lose them. You got it right there. Okay. He works on machinery. Right? He used to work on Chevrolets. I know that. I was just seeing if you still remembered. did not work on reversionistic automobiles. He worked on Fords. Now, that's a joke that very few of you know. Now, when you're working on something and you're not sure what the problem is, you need to be clear-headed. Is that right? Oops. Sometimes, twice he was clear-headed. Worked. He remembers. If you're full of fear, worry, anxiety, you can't eat. Does that make sense to you? You can't act properly. You're not sober. Might as well be drunk. No. I don't want you coming to work drunk next week. Say, well, the pastor said. You see that? So, your thinking is clear. You have what? Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Okay? And then he says in verse 13, fixing your hope. Fixing your concentration on the hope, the complete confidence on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, the revelation is at the Bema Seat. The grace is you are going to be evaluated by God. Scary thought, isn't it? Wow. I know people, and they're of the, everybody gets a trophy. Okay? Everybody's going to stand at the evaluation, and Jesus just has all these participation trophies. Everybody gets to go. Everybody gets to go. You know, like little bit. No. You know what? They're different roles. Different statuses. Some are going to have a much more intimate relationship with Christ than others. And it's going to be based upon their evaluation. And even their status and their reward and their blessing. It's on this. Does that make sense? See, if you really, truly understand grace, what do? You act on it. You take advantage of it. You trust the Spirit. You trust God's plan for your life. And so, we're all going to stand there, and our hope, our confidence is on the grace. Wow. Peter says, if you're consistently living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, loving as Christ loved, you're confident about having your life evaluated by Jesus. And thankfully, it's going to be in grace. Aren't you glad when your boss evaluates your job, he's not omniscient? It's going to be done in God. Peter's saying, I want you to live your life thinking about your evaluation. Is it abnormal to just have a regular job and you think about, I want to do a good job, I want the boss to be pleased with my work, and they want a promotion? Is that normal? You think that's okay? Or you just doing it for the money? Yep. All here, Sam. Take that attitude that you have. These most common things in life. Think about them in the spiritual aspect. What really counts is eternity. Live your life in your mind in eternity. And that's God. He's listening. A couple things here. Two other things. I got a lot of things, but one day I'm going to have to come back. But I want to look over to chapter 5 so I can say I've covered. This is called a wave offering to the Lord. There. Okay?
Now,
I skipped chapter 3 because I know Herman has covered that about wives being submissive to your husbands. By the way, you know, I can just tell you, since my wife isn't here, that I'm the head of my house. And my wife does what I tell her to do. Example, especially when she was working, she'd come home late, be tired. I didn't feel like cooking, she didn't feel like, you know. Even now, sometimes she's tired, doesn't want to cook. I'm the boss. And I tell her, either you get in that kitchen and fix me some dinner, or you get in the car and I'll pick you out to eat. And you know what? My wife is just so obedient, she just runs and gets in the car. I'm the boss. You know, men, part of being the boss is telling your wife to do things you know she'll do. My wife doesn't do what I tell her to do. You're telling her the wrong things. Is that what Herman taught you? Okay. Now we're going to go to 5. This is a verse that we all know. Look at verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, Peter's written 4 chapters about having problems. And now he says, you got all these problems? Cast them on the Lord. Yes. How many of you times have you had problems and you cast them on the Lord? Like I said, the first hour, they bounce off like a rubber ball. Like one of those, you know, those balls that they're so, I don't know what they're made out of, but you bounce them and they bounce. Whoa! That's how your problems bounce off God. That's okay. You pick them up and throw them again. Pick them up and throw them. And your prayer is, God, fix this. I've given you detailed instructions on how to do it. Now get to work. God doesn't keep His word. Here's a promise, it doesn't work. This is a horrible concept. I wish I never learned it. But in Scripture, context is everything. Okay? I'd love to take this verse and just put it in this way. Don't look at the rest of the sentence because it looks such a. And the rest of the sentence is the first part of the sentence, which is in verse 6. So let's go there. Let's read it 5-6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble. It's an aorist, passive, and fear. It's something you receive. Receive humility. The idea is recognition of God's power under His mighty hand, omnipotence, sovereignty. Recognize His authority and His sovereignty in your life. Which means what? This is a disaster in my life that God knew all about and wants to carry me through, not away from. But I don't like that. God said, I don't care what you like. I love you. And you've got to believe my plan for you is still good. Trust me. God, you I'm willing to trust. Your plan, not so much. God, you don't understand. Am I the only person that's told God he doesn't understand? You, omnipresent God, you don't understand. Omniscient God, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. You lived a long time ago. I undid my finger, but that's okay. Did it come back? It didn't, don't worry about it. I'm back. So, I have to trust God. It means I trust His plan. I recognize His authority over my life. Ooh. Now look, trusting the Spirit is trusting His plan. And trusting His authority. I'm a great person. Lord, humility recognizes the authority of God. That's all.
Well, now you're obedient.
Obedience is faith. I said this last time I was here. You obeyed God when someone said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You obeyed! Trusted Christ. Colossians 2:6. Just as you receive Christ, obedience of faith, right? So walk ye in Him, obedience of faith. Someone told you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you didn't trust Christ, did you obey? No. You don't go to hell. So, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He may exalt you at the Bema seat. Oh, I've got to trust you in problems and you're going to exalt me when it's my time to be exalted at the Bema seat. Now, if you humble yourself, then you can cast all your cares upon Him. You see what we want to do? We want to cast our cares and look, God, I'll do what I dead gum well please. No, God says you have to recognize my Lord. But I'm a grace person, Jesus. I don't recognize your authority just because you're God. No. In grace, I recognize His authority. He uses His authority to save me. See that? Now I can cast my cares upon Him. I can cast my fears, my worries, my anxiety is because I have submitted to this plan in my life right now. Does that make sense to you? Another thing I want to tell you is to do this. Do I have till noon? What time am I supposed to be through? No, don't tell me that. I go back chapter 2. Get my notes ready for me, Jerry. I got my notes ready. He's got it propped so I can see it. I'll show you. I know Herman passes out notes. I have to get a copier. I copy out, make some copies. I wrote on there, say something profound. I scratched that out, but just say something. So, there we go. Look at the last verse. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Interspersed in this book is spiritual love. Loving one another as Christ has loved us. Now, greet one another with a kiss of love. We don't usually do that. Okay? You know, Herman picked me up at the airport and grabbed me, gave me a big old kiss on the mouth, and I just... No. We shake hands, we hug. Is that right? That's greeting one another. Ancient world, they greet one another differently. So, greet one another with friendly greeting. Howdy. Then he says, peace be to you all. See, he's a southern boy. Peace be to y'all. You are in Christ. Tranquility of soul. Now, go back to chapter 1, where he talks about, chapter 1, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, we talked about the three phases, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. Let me talk about the blood for a minute. Now, hopefully I don't need to give y'all a 27-page discourse on the blood of Christ as speaking of His spiritual death. Do I? I've got it right here. Well, I got the part of a page. Got one last month. I'll go back and read it. Here is the genius of Satan, in my opinion. In my opinion. And $2 to $5, well, $3 to $5, you can buy a cup of coffee several places. But what's the genius of Satan is, he has taken something that is legitimate, the blood of Christ. And he's given it to a group of people that I'm not going to mention their names. But you got to be covered with the blood. I'm claiming the blood. I'm under the blood. They go on and on and on. Hey, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. You got to understand the blood speaks of his entire work on the cross, the spirit of death, propitiation, reconciliation. They don't understand. You have a problem in life, gotta claim the blood. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds good. Are you claiming the blood, sister? You gotta be covered in the blood. Now, that kind of, and I don't want to hurt your feelings if you're there, that kind of nonsense talk has taken those of us who know what the blood of Christ really is. We don't want God to think we're part of Him. See? So there's two ways we keep God from knowing, so He knows we're not part of Him. When we sing, we make sure we do it with as little of enthusiasm as possible. You don't want God to think we're Pentecostal. So we don't get excited, we just pray, not even that joyful noise, yes. And another thing that we do is we don't talk about the blood. Because the last thing I want is for God to think I'm Pentecostal. And I think we're missing a tremendous lesson. Because it is the blood, the entire work of Christ on the cross, that takes us back to the Old Testament. He shows us every sacrifice will carry the Lord to Christ. And he says we're set apart by the blood. If we were to study Philippians, we would see that what motivated Paul was God's love. That's something. People, what motivates us to live a life in the light of eternity is not our love for God. God's love for us. And as God's love for me becomes real, you know what? I begin to love you more and more. Does that make sense? And that's what Peter is talking about. I want to take you back to the Old Testament. And hopefully you can begin to see the realization of what's going on here. And what Peter is talking about. Peter is talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, His work for you on the cross. You did it. Did Peter smell it? He said, I can give you this example. Because he's going back to the Old Testament. Remember, he's talking to you. They've sacrificed the animals in the temple. They've sacrificed the Passover lamb. They've gone into the temple, put that young heifer or young ox or lamb on the altar, and then right there in the priest cuts his throat. Is that right?
That's the judgment.
Here is this person. You're offering a sacrifice to God, and the blood is on the it's not. When you drink, you smell good.
Yep,
only smell good. It's a unique smell. Sacrifice of Christ. And you said, well, you feel the blood that is surrounded. So it's the blood on the clothing, and it's into the skin. Here's what he said. That sacrifice was a wound for the Jews. Does that make sense to you? You walk home from the temple, and you can smell the blood about on it, feel the blood, taste of the blood. And what he was saying, I want you to live your life. I want you to learn God's word and walk with Him so much. There's nothing more real in your life than the work of Jesus. It's not necessary. You use the word, you can feel it.
Pastor God said there was emotion involved.
You appreciate the work of Jesus. You smell it. That's how real Jesus is to you. And Peter says, when Jesus is that real to you, you're going to live your life in that way. You're going to place yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're going to be able to cast all your cares upon Him. You know, one day you're going to stand before Him, and you're going to give I think we're going to receive the Lord for all kinds of things that we know even better. He just gave the whole glass of water. When you're walking in love, you can do all kinds of things that you don't even realize. Very people. Old people out there. And then honor and glory to Jesus Christ. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to take time out of our lives and work with Him. We're going to receive reward for that. We're going to receive reward. You gave up sleeping in this morning, reading the paper, doing something. Just one good. Realize that you're going to reward your worship God. She didn't script. Isn't it? Here is it. I want the person and the love and the work of Jesus on the cross to be the Savior. He is your Lord. Father, thanks for this time. I pray that you would take these things that have been taught today and use them for your honor. And for your glory, in Christ's name I pray, amen. Stay.